Welcome to 30 Minutes Towards Victory. Hi, my name is Greg Marcus. I'm the pastor of Imperial Valley Christian Center. This is our TV program, our TV ministry, 30 Minutes Towards Victory. We call it that because we want to show you from the Bible that God wants you to have victory in every area of your life. And we want to show you from the Bible, from God's Word, what we must do in order to have that victory in our life. Well, for the past, let's turn in our Bibles right now to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And for the past several months, I've been dealing with this subject. I've been trying to change it around, give it different topics. But the overall general subject of several, about four, five, six different sermons, the overall general subject has been the importance of our words. The importance of your words. What we have in life is the result of what we've been speaking all of our life. What we end up having in life is the result of our words. Our words affect our lives. Our words affect our lives for good. Our words affect our lives for ill, for evil. Let me put it to you bluntly. Our words, the words of man created by God, the words of man created by God in His image and His likeness, have a power to affect the world around them, have a power to affect the world around us. And we spent a lot of time discussing that in different formats, different ways. And we started off talking to you about how that the Jewish people, the Israelites, the people who wrote the Bible, you know, Jesus was Jewish. John, the Apostle John was Jewish. The Apostle Matthew was Jewish. Apparently, Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, was Jewish. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the books in the New Testament, he was Jewish. The Old Testament was written by what we would call Jewish people, the children of Israel, the children of Abraham. They wrote this book, and I showed you that they believed that our words have power. In fact, one expert put it this way. He said that the Jewish people believed that words were like servants or agents sent forth. It's like, just like you could send your servant to do something, you could send your words to do something. We saw in Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 18 rather, it says this: a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, so I'm not just making that up. When I say to you, your words affect your life, our words affect our life. We can have death in our life, or we can have life in our life. Can you see that? We can have death or life depending upon what we speak. I'm not just making that. It's not just something that fell out of the sky. But you can see it here in the Word of God. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of his lips. With what your lips produce, you'll be filled. A man shall be satisfied with the fruit, the product, the result. What you have in life, according to the Bible, what we have in life, what we're satisfied with in life, what we're filled up with in life, is a product of the fruit of our mouth. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall... It's really saying the same thing. It's just repeating the same thing twice. Well, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. See, I didn't make that up. God made that up. God, who created the world with words, says that our words, us who were created in His image and His likeness, who He created, He says in His word, He says that our words can affect our life, that the power, death, and life are in the power of the tongue. There's a power to the tongue. Your tongue has power in it. Your tongue, your words have power in them. Your words have power in them. Power to cause life or power to cause death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. You know, if you don't believe that's what it says, cut it out. And I went through a lot of trouble. I went through a lot of different examples trying to show you that the people who first heard these words spoken, the Jewish people, that they believed that words have supernatural power. And so that when we read this scripture, we should not read it with a 21st century materialist, scientific, rational mindset, but we need to read it with their mindset. They believe the words have power. They believe that your words are like an agent sent forth, like a servant that you would send forth to accomplish things. The Jewish people, the people who wrote this down, the people who wrote God's word down, the people whom God entrusted with his word, they believed that your words had supernatural power and ability. And then in the word which those people believed, we find it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, you know, you could take your 21st century materialistic, naturalistic, scientific, I'm too smart for that. Oh, that's a bunch of superstition, Greg. Mindset, and that's what most Christians do. Well, I don't believe in superstition. Then you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the Bible because the Bible says death and life are in the power of your tongue. Death and life are, and I went through all that Jewish background to try to prove to you that that is in fact what it meant. That in fact it meant exactly what it plainly says. You don't have to talk yourself out of what the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your words will control your life. Your words will control your life. What we speak with our mouth affects what we have in life. What we speak with our lips affects what we have in life. We begin to say in early on in life, and we keep saying, nobody ever helps me. Nobody, until that's built up into our heart, until it seems like a natural, sure part of the universe. Nobody ever helps me. And we begin to speak that. And according to this scripture, it says, we'll be satisfied with that. We'll be filled with that. We'll be filled with nobody ever helping us. We begin to say from our early part of our life, probably because we heard our parents saying the same thing. We said, well, yeah, I'm sick. Oh, I'm always getting sick. Boy, if there's anybody that gets sick, it's me. What, man, I am sick all the time. And guess what? We're filled with sickness. The fruit of our mouth produces sickness for us. The increase of our lips produces sickness in your life. Turn over to James real quick. We haven't looked at this scripture yet. But there's so many different ways of teaching this topic. I've just been kind of going through different ones. Because I really want to get it built up into you that your words affect our life. Our words affect our life. What we speak is what we're going to have in life. What the words that we speak out of our mouth are what we will have in life. That's what the Bible teaches. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall you be filled. Look back at your life, examine your life, and see if it's not so. That what you have spoken your entire life is what you have now. That what you have been speaking your entire life is what you have now. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say, the words that we speak affect what we have in life. The words that come out of our mouth affect what we receive in life. What you have now in your life is the result of what you have been speaking throughout your entire life. What you have in your life now is the result of what you have been speaking your entire life, and what your parents spoke over you, and what your friends spoke over you, what your relatives spoke over you, and the words that they spoke over your life have affected your life to this day. Hallelujah. For good or ill. If they spoke words of good over you. If they spoke words of good over you, then things are going good for you. Can you see that? If they spoke words of ill over you, then things are going ill for you. If you've been speaking words of bad things in your life, your whole life, sickness and disease and poverty and lack and want, guess what? The Bible says that's what you're going to be filled with. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. The Bible says that what you're filled with is the result of what you've been speaking. The Bible says that what you're experiencing in life is the result of the words that have been coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. So we spent a lot of time talking about that. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. If you want to change what you have in life, you need to begin to change the words that you've been speaking in life. If you want to change what you have in life, you need to begin the words that you've been speaking in your life. If you want to change the words that you've been speaking in your life, then you need to change the people you've been hanging out with in your life. You need to hang out with people who are speaking the kinds of words that you want to be your words, that you want to have those results in your life. If you want to have life in your life, hang around with people who are speaking words of life. And pretty soon, you'll be speaking words of life. And then pretty soon, according to the Bible, your life will be filled with life instead of being filled with death. Don't hang out with people who are speaking death. Don't hang out with people who are speaking poverty. Don't hang out with people who are speaking defeat. Don't hang out with people who are speaking failure. Don't hang out with people who are speaking depression. Don't hang out with people who are speaking sickness and disease. Hallelujah. Because pretty soon you'll begin speaking, and that's what you'll have in your life. Hallelujah. While I'm on that subject, let me say this. Listen, if you're not going to church anywhere, I want to invite you to one of the best churches in the Imperial Valley, Imperial Valley Christian Center. It's our job at Imperial Valley Christian Center to grow you up into a mighty, powerful, world-changing, prayer-getting answered, lay hands on the sick, healing Christian. Hallelujah. That's our assignment. That's our assignment from God, is to help you to accomplish the things that God has created you to accomplish, is to build you up into receiving the great blessings that God has provided for you, is to build up your family to accomplish and to receive the great blessings of God. Hallelujah. If you're interested in that, come on out to Imperial Valley Christian Center Sunday mornings at 10:30. I really, 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 really want to see you there. Don't miss it. Okay, so we talked about death and life on the power of the tongue. And so we've been talking for several months. We've been talking about the power of our words to affect our life. And I've been looking at it from different aspects. And I showed you that the Jewish people believed that words were like servants, were like agents. And that the Bible says, in fact, that we'll be filled with what we speak. And the Bible goes even stronger and says that there's a power to our tongue, and death and even life are in the power of our tongue. I read one Jewish commentator, he put it this way. He said, our lips have a covenant that what they speak will come to pass. Our lips have a covenant that what they speak will come to pass. And then we looked at it this way. He said that God created the world with words. And then we saw that Jesus said in Mark 11:23, he said this, he says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou, even unto a mountain, a physical, literal mountain, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe what? That the things which he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And so I put it to you this way. Jesus said you can have what you say. Jesus said you can have what you say. Jesus said what you believe in your heart and speak from your mouth, that you can have that, even up to moving a mountain into the ocean. Can you see it? Jesus said that. Yeah, and I showed you he said it in different ways. And then we looked at that Jesus said that if we had the faith of God, we could move mountains. If we had the faith of God, we could move mountains. And I spent some time proving to you that Jesus, in fact, did say, have the God kind of faith. If we could have the God kind of faith, that's when we'd move mountains. And so we began to look at, well, what is the God kind of faith? And we saw that God, what he, Isaiah 55:11, we saw that God believes about his words. We saw what God believes about. God believes that his words come to pass. God says about his own words, he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Jesus have the God kind. We can see there that God believes something about his words. He believes his words will come to pass. And when we looked at it, we saw that that's exactly what Jesus told us in Mark 11:23. He said, where he talked about moving the mountain, he said, believe that your words come to pass and even you'll be able to move that mountain. And then we saw that's what God says about his words. And we saw that Jesus said if we do that with our words, if we believe that about our words, we'd move the mountain. And we saw that God said that about his words. And we looked back and saw, well, that's exactly what Jesus told us. That if we believe that about our words, then they'd come to pass. And we saw what God believed about his words was they'd come to pass. And we saw that Jesus said if we could believe that our words would come to pass, we'd be able to move mountains. And so we saw, that's the God kind of faith. That's the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith believes that its words will come to pass. Then we saw another example of the God kind of faith in the life of Abraham, where God said about Abraham, he called him father of a multitude of nations when he didn't have any children. God called Abraham father of a multitude of nations when he didn't have a single child. God called Abraham the father of, he said, your name from now on is father of many nations. And he didn't have any kids. I mean, he'd had one with the other child, Ishmael. But he didn't have any kids that God had promised him. He had some kids he'd created on his own, but he didn't have any kids that God had promised him. Can you see that? Him and Sarah had no kids, and yet God said, you're the father of many nations. You're the father of many, and we saw in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, it says that God calls those things which be not as though they were. God calls those things which be not as though they were. God calls those things which be not as though they were. God calls those things which be not as though they were. God calls those things which be not as God calls those things which be not. Well, and what was the example that the Apostle Paul gives us there in Romans chapter 4? Abraham. He called Abraham father of many nations when he be not father of many nations. God calls those things which be not as though they were. And then we saw even further that there is one translation of that scripture that says that Abraham believed, that Abraham's faith was like unto God who calls those things which be not as though they were. We saw that there's one translation that says that, in that scripture it says that Abraham's faith was like unto God whom he believed. And what was like unto God? He calls those things which be not as though they were. What was the example that Paul gives us of God calling things which be not as though they were? He changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. He changed Abram's name from father to father of a multitude. He said, I've made you father of a multitude. I've made you father of a multitude. From now on, your name is Abraham. From now on, you're... And that was God calling those things which be not as though they were. And what was the example we saw of Abraham's faith being like unto him whom he believed? Like unto him whom... Abraham's faith was like unto him whom he believed. What was the example that we saw? We saw Abraham beginning to call himself Abraham. Abraham began to call himself Abraham. He didn't go home and say, well, I don't know what's up with God. He's calling me father of a multitude of nations, but I'm not father of nobody. That's what most Christians do. They read God's promises. They read what God says about him here in the Bible. And they go home and says, well, I don't know what's up with God. Obviously, that can't mean what it says. He says I'm healed and I know I'm not healed. Abram could have gone home just like most Christians do. And he could have gone home to Sarah and said, I don't know what's up with God, Sarah. I think he's getting a little long in the tooth. I think he might have entered senility. Can God enter into senility? I think God must be going senile. He said, I'm the father of a multitude of nations. Look around this tent. Do you see any kids? And Abram could have done that. But he had faith like unto him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So instead of going home like most Christians and saying, no, that can't possibly mean that. That must mean spiritual children, Sarah. Abram didn't go home and say, he changed his name. He changed his name from father to father of a multitude. He changed his name from father to father of a multitude. While he still had no children, he called up all his employees and he lined them up. We know that because the head of the employees referred to him as father of a multitude, as Abraham later on in the Bible. So we know that Abram communicated it to his employees. So he lined up all of his servants and he said, listen up, servants. Listen up, servants. Up to this point, you called me Abram. From now on, I am Abraham. And to their ear, what he was saying was foolishness. To their ear, what he was saying was absolute foolishness. He was saying to them, from now on, up to now, you've called me father. From now on, you're to call me father of a multitude. And I imagine there was some guy in the back of the tent started, what? What did he say? The old man's lost his mind. We're to call him what? Father of a multitude. Hey, you don't have any kids. What are you talking about, Abram? You don't have any kids. Hey, well, we're going to call you father of a multitude. And you know, they call that guy, fired him. You know what? But that's what most Christians do. They read what God says about them and they go home and they try and spiritualize it instead of having faith of Abraham, which is like unto him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. They go home and they call those things which be just like they be. Hallelujah. They go home and they read what God says. Look here, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and look what it says here in verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes God calls those things which be not as though they were. Abraham, he had faith like unto him whom he believed God. And he began to call those things which be not as though. He began to call himself father of a multitude when he was still father of nobody. God calls you, hey, you, Mr. Christian, this God is changing your name. God has changed your name from Mr. Sick. Mr. Sick and I'm going to die. He's changed your name to by whose stripes you were healed. Now, like somebody said, is were present tense, future tense, or past tense? Were, the word were, is that future tense, present tense, or past? Which is it? It's were. That means if you were healed, by whose stripes you were healed, that means you is healed. You is the healed. You were healed, that means you is healed. If by his stripes you were healed, then you is healed. Now the doctor, he calls you cancer-ridden patient, full of cancer, man. That's what the doctors are, and they're doing the best that they can do. But God calls those things which be not as though they were. And Abraham, when he had faith like unto him whom he believed, even God who calls those things which be not as though they were, he received in his life what God said about him. Abram began to call himself father of a multitude of nations, like God had called him father of a multitude of nations. And before long, Abraham had children. And before long, those children had children. And pretty soon, he was the father of a multitude of nations. When it looked like he couldn't have any kids. It looked like he'd never have a kid. He'd never had a kid. His wife was 90. He was 100. It looked like he'd never have a kid. But as soon as he began to call himself father of a multitude, like unto him whom he believed, even God, who calls those things which be not as though they were, then he became a father of one. And then the one multiplied and multiplied and multiplied till Abram is the father of a multitude of nations. Hallelujah. Now you, the doctors are calling you cancer-ridden patient. 6 months to live. No chance. No hope. You're a dead duck. That's what the doctors are calling you. And you're going around telling them, there's no hope. I'm a dead duck. I'm finished. I'm done with. I'm out of here. I'm going to be dead in 6 months. Well, that's what God calls you something else. He wants to change your name to, with his stripes, you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. God wants to change your name to healed. God wants to change your name to healed. Your name right now is sick. But God wants to change your name to Healed. He's calling you Healed. He says, yeah, you're the Healed. You're the Healed. Just like he said to Abraham, you're the father of multitude. I made you the father of multitude of nations. He's saying to you, with Jesus' stripes, you were healed. 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 Now, don't be like most Christians and go home and say, oh, well, that can't mean that, and spiritualize it. If Abram would have done that, he wouldn't be known as the father of the faithful. We wouldn't know his name today. He'd have had no children. He wouldn't have been like unto him. He wouldn't have the faith of Abraham. You have the faith of Abraham, and begin to line up with what God says about you, and begin to call those things which be not as though they were. Begin to call yourself, I am the healed, even when you're still sick. And you'll receive just like Abram received. And he received a child, and you'll receive your healing. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, but I'm not finished. Come back next week. I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Greg again.